Lecture 2, India at the Time of the Buddha.
Welcome once again to our course on the history of Buddhism. In this lecture, I'm going to begin with a few comments about some of the distinctive features of the life story of the Buddha. Then I'm going to trace these distinctive features back into the early religious history of India. And the point of this little historical exercise is to understand really where the Buddha was coming from, why he chose to analyze the problems of human life in the way he did, and why he came up with such a distinctive and such a powerful solution. But my second motivation is a little bit of a sneaky one, I've got to confess. I'd really like to tell you something about the religious life of India more generally. India is an extremely rich and creative place in a religious sense. It's conceivable, I don't know how you could really do the numbers for a claim like this, but it's conceivable that if we were speaking in terms simply of the largest number of people who have been affected by different religious traditions, that India has generated more powerful religious traditions and affected the religious lives of more religious people than any other region in the world. Certainly, it has been the most powerful of the great civilizations in Asia in that respect. The only exception, of course, in our world would be the Middle East, with its combination of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. It's worth knowing, in any case, I think, some of the ways that Buddhism is a distinctively Indian religion before we begin to trace its development and its impact on other civilizations in Asia. Now, to begin with, Siddhartha Gautama, the man who was recognized as the Buddha and the founder of the Buddhist tradition, lived in northern India, as I mentioned in my first lecture, in the 5th century before the Common Era. The young man was raised as a prince, he was married, he had a child, and then he chose to renounce his life in the palace and to leave his family, to become a wandering ascetic. And you can see ascetics and monks like this in India today, wandering the streets with very few possessions, sometimes with rather few clothes, actually, begging their food, dedicating their lives to religious teaching and study, as the monks do in Sri Lanka and as Buddhist monks do throughout the Buddhist world. After a period of meditation and study, Siddhartha Gautama sat down under a tree. Really, I suppose if I were speaking in my own classroom back home at Boston University, I'd try to bring a tree into the classroom and sit down underneath it, although I can't quite sit the way a Buddha did. And I'd try to pretend that I was doing something that also was important in the story of the Buddha, that I was waking up to the truth. As the Buddha sat down under that tree, according to Buddhist tradition, he woke up to the truth about himself and the truth about the nature of the world. This experience of awakening is known in the Buddhist tradition as his bodhi, his awakening. And Siddhartha Gautama is known to his followers, of course, as the awakened one, or the Buddha.